The reality is kind companies make more profits. That's true. I actually interviewed many companies. And if you look at big companies like Honda, the car company, if you notice, they've been doing kindness commercials. A huge healthcare company called Dignity Health, on the side of the buses in San Francisco, a major market, obviously, do you know what they're running? A bus campaign, advertising campaign, that's called the Human Kindness Campaign. Now, isn't that interesting? That's called profitability, because what they've tapped into is how profitable being a kind company is.
Welcome to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building lasting, genuine relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. I'm your host, Candice Ridardi, and today I'm joined by Jill Lublin. Jill is an international speaker and author specializing in publicity, networking, kindness, and referrals. With four best-selling books, including Get Noticed, Get Referrals, she is a recognized expert in her field. Her latest book, Profit for Kindness, reached number one in four categories. With over 25 years of experience, Jill is a master strategist, helping businesses increase profitability and visibility. As CEO of a strategic consulting firm, she has worked with over 100,000 people and appeared in national and international media. Jill offers a virtual publicity crash course, consults globally, and has shared stages with luminaries like Tony Robbins. Welcome, Jill.
I am so delighted to be here. Thank you.
Oh, this is going to be a fun conversation. So tell us your story. How did you get to where you are today?
Always a bit of a long story that I'll shorten. But, like everybody, I kind of started one way and then took another path, which is I was in law school and hated it. Sorry to the attorneys out there. But it just wasn't my thing, which was a disappointment to me because, frankly, I'd always wanted to be an attorney. I thought that was going to be a great way to make a good difference for people. And then I got to law school. So after being in law school, I thought, well, you know what, I got to do something interesting here. So I started in the music business while I was in law school. I thought, well, this will be interesting, you know, and that actually started my career in the music business, because I dropped out of law school and continued in the music business for about 5 years, ended up as the director of promotion and publicity at several independent record labels, which really I credit for giving me my publicity skills. Because, you know, in the music business, it's all about perception. So I'm very grateful, actually, for that time. And, loved being in the music business, and then opened up my own PR agency. And then I got tapped on the shoulder to write guerrilla publicity. And that kind of started a whole next level of my career, speaking and training and running virtual publicity boot camps. So that's really where I'm at now after four books, including The Profit of Kindness, which is my latest book. So now I'm teaching virtual publicity boot camps, and I speak and train all over the world, hopefully mostly virtually these days, super great. And then additionally, I run an intentional kindness community.
Ooh, there's so much there to talk about. First, I want to tell you that I started off thinking that I was going to be a law school student. Oh. I went into college as a theater major with the intention of going on to grad school for law. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen that way.
You're all the better for it, I promise.
Well, nothing ever works out the way you expect it. If you had told me when I was 18 years old that I was going to host a podcast for 10 years, I would have been, what's a podcast?
Well, I think everybody didn't know. And congratulations on a 10-year run. That's outstanding. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. So let's talk about the second thing, the thing that you wrapped up at the end there. You said that you have a community for kindness. That is one of my favorite topics. So tell me about that.
So, when I wrote The Profit of Kindness, I got this, whisper about doing intentional kindness circles, which I now call conscious kindness circles. And, here's the thing. The reality is that people are running around doing business. And, we've seen a tough environment that we've all been through for many years all over the world. And people are less kind. And I wanted to bring something in that would create conscious circles of kindness. So that's what we do. Once a month, we come together on Zoom. Happy to share the link with your listeners. It's completely free. We come together on Zoom and we help each other with kindness. We break into circles. It's great networking and just really give to each other and presence kindness and frankly do kind things. So makes a world of difference. And it's just been wonderful to do.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I do something similar with a group called Generous Entrepreneurs in Media. It's hosted by Jason Van Orden and Michael Roderick. So it's not my thing. It's something I attend. But we break into groups of 4 to 6 and we talk about how we can broaden our community in the podcast sphere. So that Zoom to me and I'm one of those people who thinks the pandemic was the best thing that happened to the world.
I'm with you, girl.
Because it forced the entire globe to shift forward, to fast forward. We press the fast forward button on technology and the way that we communicate with each other. And the things that have happened in the last 3 or 4 years or 3 years have been phenomenal. Like your kindness community, would you have done it the way you're doing it before the pandemic?
Well, I certainly would not have. And to be honest, we were looking at, I was looking at different locations to do kindness summits in. Of course, the expense is far higher. Here's what's super great. I have people from all over the world coming together to do kindness. I have people from all over the world that I can train in publicity through my virtual publicity boot camps. I mean, how great is that? I used to have to travel from place to place, exhausting on me, more expensive for the people I served. And you know what? Now, funny enough, I have reduced all my prices, which is awesome. I have decreased all my expenses and I'm able to serve so many more people now. I mean, what a delight that is.
That's intriguing that you reduced your prices and your expenses.
Yes, I did.
So that brings me to the Profit from Kindness, your book, Profit from Kindness. The Profit of Kindness. Oh, yes. That's even more interesting.
Tell you about it, you said?
No, I haven't purchased it yet. It's on my list.
Oh, well, thank you.
Tell me about how do you profit? How is kindness profitable?
So, you know, it's interesting. I'll just tell you a little insider secret. That was not the title that I proposed to them. My title was The Currency of Kindness, which I think kindness is a currency, by the way, mm-hmm. and it's a beautiful one. And I integrated that thought all through the book. They came up with this title and it took me a while to wrap around it, but I will tell you, the reality is kind companies make more profits. That's true. I actually interviewed many companies. And if you look at big companies like Honda, the car company, if you notice, they've been doing kindness commercials. A huge healthcare company called Dignity Health. On the side of the buses in San Francisco, a major market, obviously, do you know what they're running? A bus campaign, advertising campaign, that's called the Human Kindness Campaign. Now, isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
That's called profitability because what they've tapped into is how profitable being a kind company is. You know, it was kind of like being green was a couple of years ago, you know, all the rage and frankly, people jumped on it. And I'm so glad they did because our world certainly needs it. And being green, besides being Kermit the Frog, was really important. Well, same thing, funny enough, with kindness. If you look, it's really in the lexicon now. It's in the language. It's people are talking about it as a general subject. So that's really good.
So not to sound cynical, but I'm gonna. It's really easy to say that your company is green and it really isn't.
Right.
Because there's no chain of custody there. There is no complete chain of custody on green. As much as we wish there was, there isn't. But if you're saying that your company is kind, but it turns out it's not, that's very transparent.
Yes, it is transparent. And,
I like this kindness trend a lot better than the green trend. Although I do wish that more of us were taking responsibility for using our resources wisely. I was a Girl Scout. Use your resources wisely was one of our tenets, right? I wish that we would use our resources wisely. I try really hard to reuse everything I possibly can. I even this is crazy, but I have a favorite brand of kombucha, and the bottles are glass and they're perfect for water bottles. I have a collection of reused kombucha water bottles that I fill up with water and I use them to drink water from.
Absolutely fantastic. Yes, we do have to, big time. I mean, I just came back from Thailand and I have to tell you, you know, everywhere I went, they were giving me plastic bags. I'm like, no, I have a backpack. I can just put it in here. No plastic, please. You know, and I think all through the world, we really have to take responsibility for this.
Yeah.
And reuse, recycle, all that good stuff, and reduce, frankly. Yeah. And as each of us does that, well, guess what? Same thing with being kind. As each one of us does, I like to promote a conscious act of kindness every single day. Like, imagine this, one conscious act of kindness every single day from every single person. What a more beautiful world it would be, right? Just that.
Well, it produces ripples. If you're kind to one person, they'll be kind to one person, and so on and so on. It just causes ripples. So imagine what happens when you're kind to five people and they're kind to five people.
Yeah.
And so remember that was it Breck hair shampoo from the 70s and so on and so on and so on.
I love that.
I just love that. I'm a real big fan of this concept. I always call it growth through gratitude, but profit through kindness, profit from kindness is the same concept. If you're grateful to somebody and you express your gratitude, you'll find more to be grateful for. If you're kind to people and you express your kindness, you will find more reasons to be kind.
Yes.
Oh, so brilliant. So brilliant. So I'm really curious about this guerrilla publicity book that I see over your shoulder. That's not one of the ones that I had my eye on when I was researching you. And it was your first book and they tapped your shoulder to write it. So talk about that story.
So, you know, I was doing my thing, meaning running a publicity agency. I've had many years of experience up to that moment, including my experience in the music business and helping entrepreneurs and small business owners as a PR person. And one of my colleagues is a book agent. And he said, you know, I'm friends with J. Conrad Levinson, who is the godfather of guerrilla marketing, for any of you who might have known that book. And if you don't, get it.
You need to get that book. Yeah,
absolutely. It's a classic. And so Jay Conrad Levinson said, Jill, you're the expert in publicity. I want you to do the book. So I did. And that's what I mean about being tapped on the shoulder. And once, you know, I was blessed to be in this, and this is my third edition, actually, because of course we update it with blogs and podcasts and, you know, what's up now, right? This is third edition of, you know, keeping up with the world of publicity. And I just want to say as an aside, that's actually important, is you've got more publicity opportunities than you've ever had before, everybody. And I just think that's exciting, because some people go, oh, you know, they're lamenting the loss of a few newspapers. And I'm saying, hey, guess what? Your opportunities have multiplied with podcasts and blogs and, you know, online and offline publicity. Wow. So I'm super excited.
And it's ever changing. This morning, so this episode is being recorded in late June, listener, if you were wondering why I'm talking about something that's old news now. But this morning, I got an email from Stitcher, which was one of the old school, most popular podcast players out there, and they are shutting down. They got purchased by another company, and they are shutting down Stitcher, and all of their traffic is being diverted to who bought them. I can't remember now who bought them. But so it's ever evolving, ever changing. I want to go backwards just a little bit to fundamentals, because some people might not understand this. I'm going to share a story, and then I'd like you to define three things for me. So the story is, back in 2007, I got an email from Elle Decor magazine, and it said, we're doing a feature spread on your client's home, and we would like to feature one of your products in the spread. Can I get the information on it? So that magazine article went out in 2008. And for 10 years, that particular bed was our number one selling item. My husband and I had a custom furniture business.
Wow.
So the publicity that we got from that magazine, that picture in a magazine that we were lucky enough to build for, you know, the piece of furniture that we were lucky enough to build for the client, for the person in the spread, created 10 years of business for us. That's publicity. So can you please define advertising, marketing, and publicity for the listener?
Absolutely. And Candace, congratulations. You just underlined exactly the value and the ROI on publicity. And it's free, right? You didn't pay for that.
No.
Free. And you just said for 10 years. Because
10 years.
Here's the thing. I want you all to understand publicity is the gift that keeps on giving. You can leverage it. You can consistently use it. You can say you've been seen and heard and constantly and consistently. So it's very powerful. I want you to think of marketing like a tree, right? The tree is called marketing. Branches of the tree are called advertising, publicity. Advertising you pay for, it's expensive. Just tell you. I mean, I'm not against it. I think it's in some cases, it's a good thing. Publicity is free. You can't control all of the content, but boy, you know, for one picture being worth 10 years of revenues and maybe, you know, oh my gosh, and probably could still be if you were still doing that business, right?
Oh, I'm sure if we were still doing that business, we would still be making that bet. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just, it's really a gift that keeps on giving. So very, very powerful. It is free. It is earned, which also makes publicity very wonderful because people know you earned it because of who you are, what product you did or something you said, and it's not like you pay for it. So that's very powerful.
So today there are a lot of opportunities, like you said earlier, for publicity. What are some of your favorites?
Oh, well, a couple things. Blogs, simple, easy to be a guest blogger, find someone else's blogs that are popular and say, hey, I want to help contribute. Podcasts, fairly easy to get on, lots of places where you can find great podcasts to be on. And so I always love people to start on podcasts because number one, it helps you to get your chops, helps you to come up with good sound bites and things that work and be in conversation like we are, which is much more natural, right? So as opposed to, you know, major media like an ABC, NBC, CBS, or Fox radio, you know, radio station, you got to come out, you got 3 to 5 minutes, boom, boom, boom. Wow. Which frankly, I have a message formula that will help you do that. But let me just say, you've got to be ready and come out swinging fast. It's a lot more pressure on most people, whereas podcasts and blogs and even writing articles is far more relaxed. I love for people to have a 500-word article. Yes, not 800, not 1,200, 500 words, because it's simple and fast. And I love in our time, you know, like you can take that article and publish it on medium.com. Hot tip.
Or LinkedIn. LinkedIn has an article space too.
LinkedIn, absolutely. All great places. You know, I'm really a big believer in what I call visibility building activities. And I think if each one of you put aside an hour a week, and that can be 4 15-minute segments where you post something on LinkedIn, where you, you know, go to Google Alerts and see who's talking about your subject, whatever it is, right, for you. But I want you to dedicate an hour a week and break it up just because it's probably easier to create that engagement, to get people and get yourself more seen and heard by other people so that people keep talking about you, so that your reputation keeps going in front of you. And that's powerful because I'm going to tell you, people will Google you. And I want things to show up that are positive and impactful and contributing. And that media goes right to the top.
I have a couple of weekly traditions, weekly practices. I spend about an hour a week sending thank you cards or sending thank you emails. And every day I spend 5 minutes sending thank you or appreciation text messages.
Oh, I love that.
You know, which is, you know, my thing is kindness, your thing, or my thing is gratitude, your thing is kindness. They're the same thing, right? But if you do it consistently, it just feels good.
Yeah.
And then you get messages back like, oh my God, you made my day. Well, I made your day. I hope you go out and make somebody else's day too.
Yeah.
And they will. If you're feeling good. Oh, something. One of the reasons I think I was really successful in sales was that it was my goal to make someone smile or laugh every day. And I'm 53 now. And I came up with this when I was 21, right? Just make someone laugh or smile every day. And here I am, this 21-year-old kid selling millions of dollars of inventory to stores across the country, right? This kid, right? But it's because I worked really hard to make people laugh and smile.
I love that. And so powerful that is. I mean, in my calendar on Monday, it says write two handwritten thank you notes. And I'm going to tell you, my friends, in these days, who doesn't love getting actual mail? I mean, let's be honest, right? Mm-hmm. Actual mail. In fact, for me, getting people's addresses are harder. But for what, it's just a more difficult thing these days. But I would tell you, thank you, Candace. That's such great advice. You know, it's really, that's that conscious act of kindness every day. It is writing a handwritten thank you note or an email or a text. It's all good. Just be kinder, be more grateful, and watch business roll back to you just because you're that kind of person.
Well, I people delete emails, but they don't throw away thank you cards.
Not typically.
Yeah. I have been, this is something else I'm doing, because I have years of cards that people have sent me and they're in boxes all over the house and I love having them, but my word of the year is release. And so I've been trying to release things from my life. So I will grab a box of these cards that have been sitting in my house for years and I will start going, I will pull the card out of the box. I will read it. I will feel the feeling that I need to feel from that card. And then I will retain the feeling and release the card. And it has been so wonderful. It's been really lethargic to go through these cards. You know, it's a lot of really nice things that people have said. Some of them do get kept, you know, one out of 25 I'm keeping, but I've been going through hundreds of cards.
Wow. That is so cool.
Yeah. But people do. I save these cards for a decade, more than a decade. Some of them. Yeah. They're just so nice.
It is meaningful. One of my other mentors, she said the same thing. People who send her thank you cards, guess what? She keeps them. Mm-hmm. And there is something about that, being reminded. I mean, listen, I'm in a home-based office and I have testimonials lining the walls because sometimes you have to remind yourself who you are.
Yeah. I really think that I receive more referrals from other people because of the cards that I send. They feel appreciated. I was kind to them. So they're going to be kind to me. That's the law of reciprocity, right?
Absolutely.
If you're kind to somebody, they're going to want to be kind to you, but it's not just tit for tat. You could be kind to somebody. They're kind to somebody else. They're kind to somebody and so on and so on and so on. And then somebody is kind to you.
Absolutely. And it's nothing to do with that person, obviously, because you're just living that, right? You're being a demonstration of it. And wherever it lands or ends up, terrific. But I'll tell you something. I remember being introduced on a very big stage by a very famous person. And one of the things he said was, she's one of the biggest hearted people I know. And I remember, I'm all ready to go up professionally. And that moment melted me. Like, really? He said that? First of all, he didn't seem like that kind of guy that would notice, but the fact that he noticed, the fact that he spoke that in front of thousands of people set a stage of acceptance of me that nothing else in my bio could have said, even though the rest established my credibility. But when someone's saying that about you, and I just encourage all of you, if people are telling you great things about yourself, put that in your marketing material.
Oh, yeah.
I am inserting warm-hearted in my marketing material. Like, where can I put this that works? And I am all for, being professional and all the good stuff that goes along with that. But I also think these are times where you also have to be, in media, maybe vulnerable or, be describing of yourself in new ways that maybe you haven't tried before. See how it lands.
I love that. And every person in that audience now thinks that you are the most warm-hearted person they've ever heard speak.
Yes.
They exactly. All do because he said it. I did the same. I did something similar. One of my clients wrote that I was pragmatic and I totally embraced that because most women aren't, right? And now I use pragmatic in some of the language for when I'm writing a sales page, I'll say, if you want some pragmatic advice or, if you want to work with a pragmatic woman or thing, I don't, those are just examples of how to use it. But because I embrace that, you're not going to get glossed over sugar-coated stuff from me. I'm going to tell it like it is, right?
Amen, sister.
I love that. And I love that 1,000 people now have that. And then they told people. So the ripple effect of that. So there is a piece of advice for the audience. If you want to be kind to somebody, say something like that in front of a room full of people, that's the ultimate testimonial.
I
want to go back to what you said earlier, that you had a framework for a 5-minute presentation. If you were going to be on TV, I'm sure it's something that's behind a paywall, but what's the free version of that story?
Absolutely. Well, I love giving this away. And that is, your message is really what it comes down to. So when you're on a 3 to 5 minute interview, again, that's normal, my friends. You know, most media is quick, focused, simple, fast, right? And I'm talking about mainstream media, the big shows that you would know. You are in for fast segments. And 4 minutes is average. And that's even being decreased now. So here's your formula. Start with the problem today. Like, open, the problem today is, and make a statement. I would say 4 out of 5 businesses will go out of business because you have no clue how to create publicity without spending a fortune. That would be the problem today. Then I want you to give solutions. What are simple, easy solutions that you would advise people? I want you to give your big ones, you know, but I want you also to put them in sound bites and interesting ways to speak it. Most important, I want you to drip your valuable golden nuggets and give people real things to do. You know, this is not the hold back time. This is the give them things to do. So I would say, create your factor. That's one of my, now you're probably hoping and saying, well, what does that mean, Jill? I want you to think that, right? I want you to go, well, what does she mean by that? That's fun. I can remember that. That's called a soundbite. I want you to speak in soundbites, 5-year-old language, tell people what to do and keep it really, really simple. And typically tell them 3 things to do, 3 golden nuggets, real things. Also in, you know, a soundbite format, if you can. And that's something you want out, and you want to be consistent and persistent with this. Be consistent and persistent.
Absolutely fantastic advice. Make it sound so natural that it doesn't sound like you've memorized the script, though.
Exactly.
I've had podcast guests come on the show, and I feel like I'm being given a 5-minute speech every time I ask them a question.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, don't talk in 5 minutes to just talk at someone. Way too much.
Yeah.
You know, sound bites. I want you all to think, to speak and think in sound bites. It'll make a huge difference.
And don't, it doesn't matter. Okay. So let's talk about being a podcast guest, because that seems to me like it's the number one way to get publicity. Do you just be a guest on a show and expect the podcast host to do all the publicity for you?
Well, it's always good to do some with them. In other words, you want to, like, you know, when this interview comes out, I'll be posting it on my social media and all the people will see that and then start following you. And you always want to make a win-win for everybody. So, you know, the answer is it's up to you to also do some of your publicity. Make sure to post it in your website, on your social media, you know, send out a piece about it, whatever your formats are, you know, and I think that's really helpful. But great news is, it's great PR. Again, I think it's easiest to get podcasts. So I would tell you it's up to both parties.
Should you just be on any podcast, or should there be a strategy for the types of podcasts you're going to be on?
Not everybody agrees with me about this, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say, you need to say yes to everything people ask you to be on. You know why? We don't know what it leads to. Listen, I've been on, some not so big podcasts, and listen, I've got, you know, a fairly good amount of influence. I've been doing what I do for a long time, and I do say yes to things. I'll tell you why. 2 things. 1, I worked and had the blessing of working with Mark Victor Hansen on one of his books. And
that's the other Chicken Soup for the Soul dude.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. And by the way, you know, 600 million books were sold. I mean, just enormous amounts of numbers here. He knows what he's talking about. And he said to me, Jill, you are sitting around this table today doing our publicity strategy for this book because I know how powerful publicity is. He said, listen, when we started Chicken Soup for the Soul, we did every single little station we never heard of before in our life. And we woke up at ridiculous hours in the morning to do anything we needed to do. We said yes, yes to everything. Yes, yes to everything. And he said, and it paid off because people heard of us, started buying the book, read it. to me, that really imprinted in my mind how important yes is. So I will tell you, I'm a big yes to most every podcast. The other truth is you don't know who knows who, right? Yeah. I mean, podcast hosts have become my clients, or they say, you know, I have a really great referral for you for your Publicity Breakthrough Bootcamp. I know somebody who needs it. Or they show up on my kindness circle and we stay connected. However it is, it's perfect, right? Or maybe it's just a blip in a moment and we had a great time. But here's what I know. The more you do, the more people see you. Maybe audiences that are new for you. Maybe somebody gets an aha that because I was here today, they got inspired and, you know, now are doing something about more visibility. I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
So I'm just a big yes in life. And I do think when it comes to media, you need to be a big yes.
Don't keep those podcast episodes a secret. Don't keep those interviews a secret. Don't keep those testimonials a secret. Share them. I'm a huge proponent of testimonials because I know that the testimonials on that custom furniture website sold to the next customer. And I know that saying thank you with a gift to each one of our clients turned into a testimonial because they wouldn't have thought to send the testimonial if I hadn't have asked for it in the thank you card.
Yes.
You know, and so I know that every little step along the way led to those testimonials, which led to more business. Testimonials are a form of publicity. Don't keep them a secret.
Which means, Candace, by the way, that, you know, you need to keep asking for them, right?
Exactly.
And by the way, that's not, listen, even for me, when I teach my boot camps, I'm like, hey, will you do me a favor? I mean, I ask it like that because it is a favor. And, you know, testimonial stories, Candace, like your story about how you sold that bed for 18 years. 10 years.
Yes. 10 years.
I asked you, would you put that in an email and share that story with me? And you know what, Candace, when I tell that story, guess what? That's for you. Publicity.
Mm-hmm.
Say Candace told me dot, 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 yeah. dot, with her custom furniture business. Now she's a podcast host, et cetera.
Yeah. That teaches people how to say thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk about you. Why I'm talking about the testimonial, why I'm reading your, you know, why publicity works story. So one thing that why I'm so big on people doing testimonials is that it's great publicity for you.
So many people are just shy to use them. Shout it out. Shout it out and ask. This is crazy. It's hilarious. I have a coaching program called Robusta. Robusta coffee beans are smaller, but have a lot more caffeine. They're very potent coffee beans. So I named my coaching program Robusta. It's a monthly group coaching thing. But I asked the people in the group for testimonials for the sales page because I was building out the sales page. And my clients understood the assignment. Every single one of them used the word caffeine or coffee or percolator or something like that in their testimonial. And like, I asked a group of 12 people and 8 of them gave me a testimonial. Wow. So if you ask for something, they will give it to you.
Thank you. So my friends, please, the point is ask. The point is ask.
Exactly. Exactly. I know that we are in a time crunch. So I want to talk about your favorite marketing tool, tip, or technique that you have right now.
Oh, oh, I love that. I'll tell you, honestly, it's publicity. I mean, you know, not just because I do it, because I know how effective it is, how low cost it is, how it gets you back, like you're talking about with that bed, 10 years worth of sales, you know, it's a gift that keeps on giving. So I'm big on, you know, writing articles is one great thing, like one article a month, 500 words, posted on medium.com. I love Google Alerts and seeing who in the media is talking about whatever it is, publicity or kindness in my case.
That's really important. Share how to set up a Google alert. That's a really important point.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Go to Google. They will take you through it. I'm not Miss Tech, but they will take you through it and they will tell you how to set up a Google alert. But bottom line is I want your name as one Google alert so that when you get those great stories, you will know it. That's important. And number two, whatever it is that you're doing in the world, let's say you're a leadership coach, type in the word leadership. And that way, you know, when people are talking about whatever you are needing, right?
Yeah, well, and that's also a great way. And thank you for reminding me about this because I do have a Google alert set up, but I don't use it as often as I should. I get the emails and then I sort of ignore them, but I need to pay more attention and I need to make sure that my alerts are accurate. But if you're running out of things to talk about on social media, Google Alerts will give you a whole list of things to talk about on social media if you have them set up correctly.
And let me just say, when The Prophet of Kindness came out, so I put in the word kindness, and of course, Jill Lublin, separate. They're two separate ones. And by putting in the word kindness, did you know I found out that World Kindness Day is November 13th? I didn't know that before I wrote this book. I really didn't. I'm like, cool. Now I do a World Kindness Summit, by the way. I do monthly conscious kindness circles. You know, all of that came out of knowing what Google Alerts was focusing on. And you bet in October 1st, because you tend to start your publicity 6 weeks and more before you need it. Mm-hmm. And I will be sending out a press release about World Kindness Day and how to be more kind and what to do. I'm not going to say, ooh, I'm having a summit, because that is not the news, my friends. What's the news is, how does it relate to the viewers, the listeners, the readers? And I'll just share with you, when I wrote Guerrilla Publicity, I talked to the editor of Entrepreneur Magazine. You know, imagine this, you an entrepreneur, that's a good thing, right? And she said to share with you that what she cared about is what her readers care about. So you really got to put yourself in a reader, viewer, listener's shoes when it comes to media. What do they care about? That's what to focus on.
Yeah. Oh, so, okay. So if you think that news is too negative right now, it's because that's what the media thinks that the watcher, the listener wants to hear, is that negativity. So going back to the beginning of this conversation, spreading ripples of kindness, the more we spread kindness, maybe the more kind the news will be.
Yeah, we got to shift that. And you know, here's the truth. It's sexy and it sells, or so they think. But I, many years ago, started something on a good news network, right? It was a little too early for it, but I do find now people are really wanting this. This is why, you know, that's why we started this initial conversation with Honda spending millions of dollars on their kindness campaign on TV with car commercials. That's a lot of money, honey.
Yeah.
And people, if you look at companies, they're investing in kinder messages. So we're on our way.
Yeah. And I feel great about it. Let's wrap this up with your moment of gratitude. For whom or what are you most grateful?
Wow. Well, I must admit, I just got married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Super great. And I'm so grateful. And I've been with him for a long time. And we just decided that it was the time. So I am very grateful to be in a newly married state with a beautiful honeymoon to Thailand and all that the blessings that came with putting on a beautiful wedding where my family and friends were right there with me and part of it. I'm very grateful for that.
Thanks for tuning in to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building lasting, genuine relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. Make sure to visit gratitudegeek.com for the show notes, where you can find links to all the groovy resources we've mentioned, including ways to connect with our guest, Jill Lublin. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on Audible, iTunes, Good Pods, or your favorite preferred podcast player so you never miss an episode. Our theme music is Track 14 by Rev Brock and Soul Lily. I'm your host, Candice Rodarte, reminding you that gratitude is like manure. It's just a pile of poo until you spread it around. Stay groovy, my friends.
Stay groovy, my friends.
I know we can make it easier than they can. We can make it better than before.